want to say around the time of maybe 15 years old, I said, Mom, I don't want to go to church no more. Because by now, in this small community, I'm witnessing kids are having sex now. Kids are drinking, smoking, partying. They're doing all types of things. And I'm starting to feel a little peer pressure because I'm starting to realize like I'm really different because it's just in me. And I know it was the hand of God on me where I didn't want to participate in any of those things, but I wanted to be around. I had cousins that wouldn't want to stay or spend a night at my house on Saturdays. And the weekend is when kids get a break from school and hang out and stay at each other's house, play games. Well, it got to a place where everybody, all the kids loved me, wanted to be around me, but they was like, if you stay at Brook House, you got to go to church on Sunday. Mm-hmm. And I knew that. So mm-hmm. I said, Mom, I don't want to go to church no more. She said, well, when you're 18 and you're grown, you can make your own decisions. Mm. So as soon as I turned 18, I left the church immediately. I left the church and it was like, I felt like some sense of freedom, some false freedom where I went and got tattoos. I started smoking. I started throwing parties. I started drinking. And I was young, but I just started getting into any and everything that I could, just to fit in. I wanted to fit in with people. I got dreads. I got a nose piercing. What ended up happening was I just got deep into that lifestyle of rap, secular rap. I would lock myself in the studio. I would go studio to studio, and I built this local buzz around in my city where it was, okay, Brooke's the rapper. He's the partier. He's the smoker. He's the fun time. And because of my upbringing, I was really respectful to women. Mm-hmm. But being in that rap lifestyle, it kind of made you feel like you had to have all the girls, and all the guys are like, man, you're the man, you're the man. So that was me before crossing over to surrendering my life to Jesus, because I'd never had a relationship with Jesus. I just knew of the God in the Bible. I just knew the God that my grandma served. Mm-hmm. And I just knew how to say the books of the Bible, like Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, Joshua, Ruth. I could say it in order, but I didn't have any substance, because I couldn't tell you what was happening in those mm-hmm. in those scriptures. Mm-hmm. But I prided myself of if when the pastor says turn to this page, I can find it really quickly. But I don't know what's going on. I got baptized when I was a kid. I didn't know what I was doing. So yeah, I left the church and I was pursuing fortune and fame. I had a cousin that was a DJ in Atlanta, which gave me access to celebrities. So being around Future, Travis Porter, being in studios out in Atlanta, which is like a really mecca for music. And I took that style home with me, and I began to seek different celebrities in Chicago. Like I went up to Chicago and hung out with Tory Lanez, and I went up to Arizona and California. I'm doing shows, I'm getting on the radio, and all the while, my dad, he ended up going to jail mm-hmm. for 5 years for, you know, he was in the streets. I can speak on that, and I'll get back to why I can now. But my dad was in the streets, which ended up causing him to go to jail for 5 years. So he missed my whole high school. So now I don't have, not only is my father not in the house, now he's not even outside. So I really don't have any male guidance. Just partying, hanging out, pursuing fortune and fame, being a secular rapper, going to clubs, rapping, going into strip clubs, and opening that access up to all these different unclean influences. And during that time, my grandma, that's when she passed away. Well, when she passed away, I was already in that phase of my life listening to Wiz Khalifa and Juicy J, and they would drink lean and smoke. So I was doing that. I got a call that said, come to the hospital. And I'm thinking like, okay, my grandma in the hospital, I'll be there eventually. But I was smoking and smoking and smoking. And eventually I get up to the hospital. I'm sure I was under the influence. And my grandma, she passed away. And that was like, that was just eye-opening to me. That broke me, because this is like one of the first times someone close to me that I would see every day. I would drive her to church. So she passed away. And that just tore something into me where I was like, here I am smoking, and I'm so addicted to smoking that I'm not even there with my family. You know, I didn't even get to say my last goodbyes. So I took that really hard, and I was like, I'm gonna start wearing my pants above my waist. My grandma would always say, cut your hair. You're handsome. You don't need to be looking like that. So yeah, I tried to straighten up myself. I started carrying a pocket Bible, and then I went back to college. Like after high school, I was just out here. When she passed away, I went to college. So I went to college a year and a half after I graduated. And I was like, okay, I'm gonna get my life together. I'm gonna go to college. I'm gonna become successful, and I'm not gonna waste my life away. So when I went to college, I began to try to quit smoking. And then when I started to straighten up my act, I felt the presence of the Lord strong on me, to the point where it's like, I want to go back to church. Like I just want to get my life all the way together. So I attempted to do that. It was just this force holding me back. More people wanted to smoke with me. I ended up getting arrested by the police, and that they kept me in jail for 3 days, which dropped me from some of my college courses, and life began to get really hard. Mm-hmm. As I tried to get, in a sense, closer to God and my life together, that's when life became even harder. And I started to feel depression. I started to feel angry. I started to have anxiety, night sweats, weird dreams. That's when I fully realized that I was addicted to marijuana and I couldn't stop. I would go to church. I would pop in here and there, and I feel like people were looking at me and judging me. I went through, I don't want to listen to secular music no more. So I just was so lost. I was just so lost. And then I was smoking one day, crazy, with some people from college. And then while I was standing outside, I heard the voice of God. Not the audible voice of God, but just like in my conscience, I was standing there looking up at the moon, at the sky, and I just began to hear this voice, and this peace came over me. Like, and what I remember was Christian artists, Christian rap. Like it was just this in my heart posture to make Christian rap. And I felt at peace, at love in that moment. It was like, I felt like a Moses in the burning bush where God was speaking. And in that moment, the God that I believed in, I received faith, because I was like, God is real. And I'm looking out at the people. I'm like, they don't hear this. Like, I'm looking around at the world, and I knew I was high, but it's like my high went away. And I just was like, man, in that moment, I was like, man, God is real. He's talking to me. Like, he wants me to be somebody. He wants me to be something. And I was excited. But I had no discipleship. I had no brothers in Christ, or no one like read this Bible verse, read this, do this. It was me trying to do it all by myself. But God was calling on me. And the word says something about that the thorns would try to choke that word out of you. And if you're not on good soil, that rocky ground, you know what I'm saying? The birds would come up and eat it away. And that's what happened to me. The enemy came through and started to spread lies right after I had this moment that God is real. I also had this moment like, man, the enemy is real. And he's trying to kill, steal, and destroy. And I told God, like, no, I don't want that. I don't want to be a Christian rapper. I don't want to give up making secular music. I tried it, and it's lame. It's corny. No one's going to want to listen to me. That's not cool. So I rejected God. So I kept my faith to myself. I didn't tell nobody I believed in God. I didn't tell nobody that I really believed that he's real. I just kept it to myself, and I tried to blend in. And the more I tried to blend in, the more depression I felt. Years later, this was 5 years of me trying to hide, because I wasn't even a Christian. I wasn't claiming that I was a Christian. I was just somebody that had that moment of, man, God is real. He spoke to me. I went back into smoking and drinking and partying and trying to act like it never happened. And I tried to convince myself, man, I'm crazy. I'm tripping. Like, that didn't really happen. Well, what happened is my dad, he got out of prison. Ooh, let me back up. Right before he got out of prison, while he was in prison, it got really deep, intense. I started to get depressed. I started to hear a voice that said, kill yourself. Your grandma passed away. She went to heaven. And you know, in the Bible, when God is calling people away, you missed the rapture. You got left behind. You're going to go to hell. But if you want to go to heaven, you need to kill yourself. Mm-hmm. And that voice was so loud, and I heard it. And I'm looking around at people like, dang, they can't hear it. If I tell somebody and I'm hearing voices, they're going to tell me I'm crazy. Mm-hmm. and they're going to tell me, no, you're just smoked too much. I just bottled it up. I kept that spiritual warfare that was going on. I kept it to myself. I didn't go talk to a pastor. I didn't talk to my mom. I didn't even tell my friends about it. I tried to bury that by myself, which caused me to drink more, smoke more. And the big part of my testimony, what I want to get to, is that took me to a place of deep, deep, deep depression, where now I'm acting out of character because this voice is telling me all types of things, like, touch this tree, walk here. And I'm like, in my head, I'm like, is this God? I'm questioning myself, like, whose voice is this? Because I can't decide, like, because this voice is telling me to do 3 good things, then out of nowhere, it'll tell me to do a bad thing, like to hurt somebody or to harm myself, or it'd speak negative about me. And I'm like, man, I don't think God would say that to me. And it got so unbearable for 3 to 5 years. It got so unbearable that it got to me, and I began to do the most outrageous stuff. I began to take my clothes off and wander the streets and walk the streets. And I look at a stop sign, and my brain would be like, stop. I look at a one way, and it'd be like, walk this way. And I walk down a one way. That voice just led me to do so many different things. But before I would go over the edge, I would stop myself. And I know it was God allowing me, but to stop myself, like, that ain't the right thing to do. I'm about to just go home and act like this didn't happen. Mm-hmm. Well, God, I was wandering the streets. That's how I can explain it. Like, the people in my area, I don't know about everywhere else, but there's people that walk the streets and they yell out things, and they just yell things out their mouth, and they pace back and forth, and they wear the same clothes over and over and over, where eventually it got to the point where that was me. And I was looking raggedy. I was looking dingy. I was losing weight. And I was just out here walking the streets, looking homeless. All my friends, they had moved off, went to college, moved away. And I was just here by myself, just kind of trying to process and get more depressed. Like, I went from popular. I went from a well-known rapper in my community that everybody wants to be around me, to like struggling, no money, no food to eat, hearing voices. Police wouldn't even want to pull me over and take me to jail for misdemeanors and stuff. It got to a point where they would take me to a place called Robert Young Center, which is what we call like a crazy home, and lock me away in there. And the nurses would have you take pills to subdue you and keep you like a zombie or whatever. I tried to commit suicide while I was in there. I picked up a Bible and read it, and the voice was like, read only the red words. And I was reading the red words, and it was like, if your eye something, then pluck your other eye out. And I'm like, what? The Bible's telling me to stab my eye and take it out if I look lustily at something. And I was taking it literal. And that's my story, man. I can say demon possessed, because I tried to fight police. I got tase marks on my back. I tried to fight nurses. I was losing control of my mind in my deepest, deepest place. My dad was in prison around that time still. And in my deepest place, it's like a blur, but I remember it. I remember kicking. I remember spitting. I remember fighting and yelling and lashing out. But I also remember being conscious inside of there, aware that what I was doing, but I just couldn't stop. And like, what is like, and I was just crying out to God on the inside. Like, it was kind of like the movie Get Out, where it's like, I didn't have control of my actions. Yeah. I was in the hospital. Oh Jesus. I got to tell the whole thing. I was in the hospital because I was in the Robert Young Center, and I needed medical attention, medical help. And I started to cry out to God. Cause I didn't know what was going wrong with me. And I'm hearing demons. I'm hearing voices, not just the voices in my head, but I'm hearing demons and other people saying that they're going to harm me. I felt like somebody wanted to kill me. I felt like my loved ones were against me. Like, my whole world was just fading away. I couldn't take no more. So I just started screaming and yelling out to God, like, Lord, you said you weren't going to forsake me. You said you'll never leave me. And I started screaming and crying out to that God, that voice that I heard so many years ago. I started to cry out and scream to him and call on him. I started to pray in my head. I started to think about God, like, Lord, I need you. I need you. If you help me out of this. My biggest prayer was like, Lord, if you restore me to sanity, if you give me my right mind back, if you give me another chance, I'll follow you. I'll quit smoking. Like, I'll come to you. I got out of that situation because I ran to a friend's house, and he took, I had IV still in my arm. He took the IVs out of my arm, and he fed me. I stayed with him and his mom for a little while. I kind of just try to put that behind me, because like a couple of days went by and I just began to put my clothes back on instead of hospital clothes. And I began to play video games with my friend, and I began to just kind of act like that never, like that season of my life never happened. And then, yeah, one day it just clicked. Like I just was like back in my right state of mind, and people in the community would talk about me behind their back. Like, y'all know Baruch used to be crazy. Y'all know Baruch used to, he was arrested by the police. Y'all know that, you know that he was like that. Everybody behind my back just was like, man, y'all know he was crazy. And I just tried to play it off like it never happened. I got in a relationship because when I got on Facebook, I had so many notifications and so many inboxes with people saying, man, hope you feel better. Get well soon. Thinking about you, praying for you, heard you was having a hard time. But this girl that I had a crush on, she reached out to me like, hey, Baruch, just hope you're doing good. And when I got out of the hospital or the Robert Young Center, I messaged her back and I said, I'm doing good. Let's hang out. And she said, let's go Black Friday shopping at the mall. I said, okay. So I linked up with her to go to the mall. I went from that deep depression, that deep suicide, that deep demonic terror. And God moved that from my life. And instead of seeking a relationship with Jesus, I kind of just was like, all right, thanks God, deuces. And I seek a relationship with this girl. And I stayed with her for 4 years, just trying to feel love, trying to act like it never happened, trying to just be like, okay, let me shake that behind me and let me get back to music. Let me get back to grinding. Let me get back to seeking fortune and fame. Let me get back to smoking, drinking, and partying. And I did that for 4 years. But then I got to a place where I still had this God-sized void in my heart. Mm-hmm. So I said, let's go to church. She was like, no. I said, okay, I'm about to go to church. So I started to go to church. And when I go to church, they would pray for me. This sense of I need God started to come back around. Yeah, every time I would show up to church, they would pray for me. But she would never go with me. So we just prayed over our food and we just kept going with life like that. Well, I get back into the streets because now I'm a rapper and I can't provide for myself, can't provide for studio time, can't provide for this persona, this look that I want to keep. So I started to sell weed. And then I end up one day getting pulled over by the police. I was nervous. I was scared. So I drove away. I fled and eluded the police, which ended up having them come to my house and they took my girl's car. And she, quick story, she, literally quick, she was raised Jehovah's Witness. So she didn't smoke. She didn't drink. She didn't do any of that. So she wasn't a Christian, but she also wasn't living in the street lifestyle. She like had a job and was doing things the right way, so to speak. So when I got her car taken, that caused the friction between me and her. And she was upset with me. And I was wanted by the police for about 10 days. And her mom were mad at me. Like, you got to turn yourself in. So eventually, after running the streets for a while, I turned myself in. I got arrested. They arrested her. And I'm just having this moment like, what am I doing with my life? Like, I tried to get my life together and go to college and dropped out of college. I tried to get my life together and go to church and stop going to church and got back in the streets. Now here I am getting this good girl arrested by the police because me being ignorant out here. And I wasn't raised like this. Like, I was on the honor roll. I grew up going to church. I was like who people say he's the good kid. And here I am doing all of this wrong. And I was just feeling convicted. So after I got out of jail for that time that I was in there, because I was in and out of jail all my whole teenage year. Like, I literally was in jail probably 20 times, the county, 2 days, one night, spending the night in and out for misdemeanor, smoking, drinking, all little stuff. It's not little stuff. I don't, for anyone hearing, I don't want to consider that little stuff, but I mean, I was around people that went to prison. Mm-hmm. People my age, they went to prison for robbing banks, for shooting at people, for doing stuff like that. And I got to a place of our relationship got so bad that I broke up with her. I broke up with this girl. I loved her, but she just was on the right track. And I feel like I was weighing her down. And in a sense, that broke her heart because she stuck by me through all my negative stuff. But looking back on it, that was God separating one. He can't get to her with me in a way, and he can't get to me with me clinging after her. So I broke up with her and I went to California with my friends, and I was still pursuing fortune and fame, still smoking and hanging out. But I came back in town because the house that I lived at with my girlfriend at the time, the lease was up. So I came in town to help her move. Well, when I came in town to help her move, just that being familiar with her, just that lust, we ended up sleeping together. And shortly after, she showed up, and we were broken up, but shortly after, she showed up to my mom's house like, hey, I think I'm pregnant. And then that's when all reality hit me. Like, now I have a baby on the way with the girl that I feel like I love, but I'm not even with her no more. So I had a baby on the way. And I say all of that to truly know what I come from to this moment was defining. The baby was on the way. So if I had 9 months, now the time clicked. I have 9 months to get my life together. Mm-hmm. I tried to quit smoking. I tried to get a good job. I kept trying to do all these different things in my own strength. Nothing would ever work out. And I just felt hopeless. I couldn't do it. Now the baby's here. Now that the baby's here, I'm still smoking. I'm still quitting jobs. I'm still doing things wrong. She wanted to know, okay, what are we doing? Are we getting back together? And I just was like, no, let's just stay friends. Let's just figure it out. And that made her feel like, what? You bringing a baby in the world with me and you don't want to be with me? So that caused some bitterness and some hurt in her. So now I have a hard relationship with the mother of my child because she's trying to raise him on her own because I'm not bringing nothing to the table. Well, he was born. This is my testimony right here. My son was born May 8th, 2017. And when he was born, he took his first breath before he came out of the womb, which is called swallowing stool. So he took his first breath and swallowed everything in his mom. And the doctors and nurses rushed into the room to make sure he can breathe, to basically make sure that this isn't a tragic situation. Mm-hmm. And I began to think about God. I began to pray in my mind and I began to lean back on that faith. Like, Lord, I've been through all of this crazy roller coaster in my life. I know you're not about to take my son from me. Lord, I know that he's going to be okay. I just know it. So I just came into agreement with God about him, and my faith grew even more. The God that protected me from all this stuff that I went through, because I literally should be dead or in jail through the stuff I went through. My son was sent to Peoria. He had surgery, but he ultimately became healthy. He ultimately lived. Like, and God blessed me with a healthy baby boy even after that. I would see him as an infant. I would try to be there feeding him bottles. And then when I would give him back to his mom, I would go search for jobs, go try to quit smoking, go try to pop into church for prayer, just on the run. My dad, he was out of jail now. So I was building this relationship with my dad. This is where it get even deeper. Well, my son was born May 8th, 7 months later, November 9th. My dad, he was in the hospital for a check-in and he passed away. Mm. So 2017 on November 9th was my sister's birthday. My dad passed away because he had a disease called sarcoidosis. It's what Bernie Mac had passed away from. Mm. It makes you swell up. It caused your lungs to have trouble breathing. So he was coughing and so my dad passes away. I have a son. So 2017 was a really crazy year for me because now I don't have a dad to teach me how to be a father. Not only that, my dad wasn't the church going dad. My dad was in the streets and my dad was a womanizer. He had a lot of girls, and I have a lot of siblings in different states. So there was this friction between me and my dad because he always told me he loved me, but he was doing things that God wouldn't be proud of. And my mom, she never really told me she loved me like that, but she was like trying to live a life as a Christian. My dad passed away, and instead of seeking Jesus, I still kept going the wrong way. His funeral broke me because that's my name, seeing my name on the obituary, having to show up at the church that I was raised at and speak to all of those different people. I was numb. So here's where I went from just smoking weed to now I popped a pill for the first time with somebody. I did acid. I'm getting into deeper things, opening myself up to deeper things. And I'm hanging around drug dealers and I'm just sitting around in a trap and I'm just wasting my life away. I'm not even going to the studio no more. I'm just drunk. I'm literally drinking drinking and driving and like hanging out with the wrong crowd. And the next year, my cousin that I told you about that was a DJ in Atlanta, he's a little older than me. He passed away. So now I got all this death going on in my family, and I have a baby boy that needs me, but I barely see him. What happened was I made a decision, which was not a good decision, to just travel, go to Atlanta, move around. And I didn't see my son for 7 months. So from the time he was one, I didn't see him again till he was 2 years old. So 7 months went by, and I was like, you know what? Since his mom is trying to make me see him on her terms, I'm going to go get my life together, and then I'm going to come back for my son or take her to court. Didn't happen. I couldn't get my life together. So when I came back in town, I end up finding myself sitting down on the couch with an atheist, smoking and playing video games. And he was telling me how he didn't believe in God. And at that moment, I just looked at him. I put the blunt down. And at that moment, I went outside, and I just was like, I had the heart posture of, I can't do life no more without Jesus. Mm. I can't do it no more. Like, I'm losing all my loved ones. I have nowhere to turn to. I have nothing. I have no purpose in life. I need to go find that God that spoke to me, and that I know he hears me. So I got up, I put the blunt down, and this was in 2020, 3 years later, after my dad passed and my son was born. Basically 2.5 years later, because the beginning of 2020, right before the pandemic, I went to my mom's house. I said, Mom, I want to go to church tomorrow. She said, okay. So I took her to my friend's church. Then I went to the church I grew up at with her. And then she was like, okay, but I got to stop by Hy-Vee to get some groceries. I said, okay. So we went to Hy-Vee, and we went there, and my mom was like, your son is here, and the mother of your child is here. They're in the aisle over there. I said, what? The thing that struck me, it was this shift that took place in me, because not only did I just go to church and I received some words that day, the sermons were on point, the prayers were on point. I just had this heart posture. Like, I'm really paying attention, because I really want God, and I'm really searching after God. And the same day that I went to go see God, I ran into my son, and I was seeking God to be in my son's life. I was seeking God to break the addiction of smoking so I could be a good father. That's all I wanted from the Lord. I just wanted to be sober, and I wanted to raise my son. I seen my son at the grocery store that same day. And I live in a small town. And in this small town, as oddly as it is, when you go to the grocery store, you don't just always run into people that you know. I mean, you see people you know, but I just knew it wasn't a coincidence. I knew that this was a God moment. Like, I can't nobody tell me. I got my mindset on God. I'm praying for God. And then boom, here's my son. His grandma said, do you know who that is? I said, it's Dad. He was like, dad, wow, dad. And he was mind blown, because he remembered I was there changing his diapers. I was there feeding him a bottle. I was there playing, doing the shapes and colors with him. And then I disappeared for 7 months. And then I come back in the picture, and he's running and talking. And like, he's at that phase of like, he remembered me though. And it broke my heart. It soft, like broke my heart in a good way. It softened my heart. Like, I had this determination in this new, like, I can become a good dad. I can be in his life. I can do it, because now I got God. So my mom said, hey, I'm about to go to another church. I'm about to drop you off. I said, no, if you're going to a third church today, I'm coming. And I made a decision in my heart that if anybody ever invites me to church, I'm going to go. Yeah. I quit smoking. That day before I went to church, I never touched another blunt again. Jesus has broke that chain. I'm not addicted to marijuana. And that was one of the main things that was binding me and holding me down. I made a decision to be celibate since that day. I began to not drink. I began to go to church after church after church. I started reading books. The pastor told me to read Matthew, Mark, Luke, and different things. So I started reading the Word of God. I picked up this one book, and this guy, he had his biography in it about how he would pray on his knees in the morning and pray on his knees at night. So I started to do that. I started to go to Planet Fitness and work out. So now I'm building these healthy habits. I drink water. I read my Bible. I go to church. And that became my life And I would just pray. And I started to hear the voice of God more. And he began to talk to me. And out of nowhere, I received joy. I literally, all 2020, I woke up with a smile on my face. And I was just so happy. And the pandemic hit, and I didn't notice. I didn't even know people were wearing masks and stores were shut down. I didn't know any of that. I was aware, but I didn't notice because I was so in his presence. And I was just so in love with Jesus that I didn't even care about that stuff. Well, here's the shift. I made a Facebook post because even though I was pursuing Jesus, things was trying to slow me down from getting to church. People would say, read your Bible every day. If something's trying to stop you from the church, that's when you know you need to be there. And I start going and I start hearing testimonies from different people, and prayers started to come to pass because I made a Facebook post like, the enemy is trying to kill my faith because I just lost all my money. It wasn't a lot. I had $60 to my name, but I lost my money trying to give offering in the plate at church. I believe I reached in my pocket, couldn't find the rest of my money. And I wanted to be frustrated, but I was like, man, I'm just excited. I'm happy. I got God. And I made a Facebook post, and this drummer from another church seen it. And he said, hey, man, come to my church. Well, I got picked up by the youth pastor. His name is Breon, which is like my best friend now, my brother in Christ. But he picked me up. And he was the same age as me. So my other church, I don't know if I mentioned this, but my other church was all people that were my mom's age and all people that were my grandma's age. And there were no young adults like myself. So when I got there at this new church, almost everybody was like my age. And this is a pandemic going on. Y'all don't, and it's like, I didn't even know the younger generation still went to church. Now I'm 30 now. At the time, I was 28. So 18-year-olds, 20-year-olds, 24-year-olds, 28-year-old young people. The pastor is young. He's 35. Like, and it's like this young, fresh, new look. Like, everybody's dressed like how I dressed. And it's like everybody's praising and they worshiping and they just love God. And it's like, wow, this I felt welcomed. And I began to praise and worship. And I began to get discipled because I'm looking around like, so unashamed of the gospel, and they begin to put me on different stuff like, hey, check out Brian T. You could listen to Christian rap. I'm like, what? Because all I ever heard of was Lecrae. I never heard Christian rap before. I never heard Lecrae before. I just heard of him from my mentor, Chris. So now I just got this new attitude. Like, wow, like I can do it, man. I got brothers and sisters in Christ, man. We going hard for the kingdom. We about to win souls. And I got baptized. And when I got baptized, I got filled with the Holy Spirit. I just was excited. I started to spread the gospel all on my social media page. And I just was so on fire for the Lord. And I remember eight some years ago, back when I wasn't living for him, he said Christian rap. And I'm like, okay, Lord, I'm never doing music again because I'm a secular artist. I stopped. I gave it all up. And he said, no, the same way you felt that your son wasn't in your life for 7 months, that's how I felt when you wasn't in my life for all of this, for all of that time. And I was like, you love me that much? Wow. And he said, you can't give up. You can't give up music. You can't give up something I gave to you. And I received it as like, you did all that music for the kingdom of darkness. Now it's time to do music in the kingdom of God. Now it's time to glorify me. And even more, you're the vessel. I'm the rapper. Amen. God is the artist. He's the headliner. I'm just a vessel being able to spread what he get with the creativeness that he puts into me. I can give it out. And it gave me a new perspective. Like, I used to rap for me and find my identity in the rap. But now my identity is in Jesus Christ. And now I'm pointing people to him. Now, this is towards the end of my testimony. Just for those that's listening, that was a mouthful. But this is the end of my testimony because that was 2020. We're only in 2022. In a quick space, I went from homeless. I went from depressed. I went from suicidal. I went from addicted to when I went down in that water and got baptized and came up and all my sins was washed away, covered in the blood of Jesus Christ. People were praying for me. I was reading my word and receiving it. I now have the Holy Spirit to help me walk this walk. And I knew the difference was when I became a new creation. Trying to do all those things on my own, I couldn't do it. But soon as I gave my life to Jesus and started walking in that walk, I was able to do everything that he wanted me to do, just because majority of it was just broken off of me. And the other stuff, like lust, like looking at women and different things, like those things weren't broken off me, but his word was told me to be obedient and to be self-controlled. And as long as, and you resist the enemy, he'll flee. And even though we fall short of his glory, he'll be there to forgive us, and we can keep going. I don't have to feel shame and regret no more. So I have this new family, all my old friends, everybody before my walk, before the pandemic. When I came out of the pandemic, everybody around me are Christians. I met a girl that reached out to me for Bible study. She just loved how I was carrying myself, and she gave me her number. I found out that she was celibate, and I had a son. She had two kids. We came together. We were walking. We were talking, sharing each other testimony. We both were on the same path of the Lord, and God put it on my heart, softened my heart for this woman, and we went from friends at a short pace of time to feeling each other to I proposed to her, and she said yes. Then we got married. We have a beautiful baby girl named Treasure now. So now, not only did God give me my son back, but he gave me a wife, and he gave me two other children that didn't have their dads in their life. So now I'm raising four children. I have a wife, and ministry has grown because I said, okay, I make five gospel raps. So I made five gospel raps back in 2021, 2020. But then someone said, I was in Kentucky, and someone said, man, God is showing me music with you. Like, just make music. And that was confirmation for me. And then I came home, and another one was like, God said, you stop dreaming, dream big. You can do it. Keep going. I'm like, okay, I got this. Now I have faith in Jesus Christ. Now I have family. And now I have purpose to spread the gospel. Now I have an outlet on how to minister my testimony and draw the lost with my music. And I got the okay to do it. I was excited because I hit the ground running, because I released my first song 7 months ago. Mm-hmm. I released my first song 7 months ago. And within those 7 months, I've met Lecrae. I've met the whole Reach Records. Andy Mineo, Wine Day, Trip Lee, 1K Few. I have a song with him. And I just was persistent putting out more music. And I connected with this guy named Bryce that was rocking with me. And he was a cool guy. We became friends. And he turned out to be Caleb Gordon's DJ. So then now I'm in Milwaukee at the hotel hanging out with Caleb Gordon from Florida. And then I get another call on Instagram. Hey, I'm loving your music pop out. From this guy named Johnny. He turns out to be KMF and Brian T's photographer. So then I went out to eat with KMF and sat down and ate with Antoine and Young Disciples and Brandon Trejo and all of them. And then I did Revival with Brian T. And then I met AI the Anomaly, and she was with God Over Money. And I began to put music out, and Miles Minute comment on my stuff. And I just was on a Zoom call of FaceTime call with Zanti the other day, and it's like, in the secular world, all these celebrities or high influencers will overlook me, and it seemed unreachable. But now that I'm spreading the gospel, God has been moving me up to a faster pace, where it's like, I've been in the room with all the Christian artists that people know that are actually that you can see God is moving with them, or I've been on a call or a text message with them. ASAP Preach followed me on TikTok, KB liking my music on TikTok, and I'm just like, God. And he's like, look, I told you, I'm gonna rain down on you. I'm gonna expose you to the world. I said, Lord, if this is what you're calling me to do, I need you to do it. So I don't do any marketing. I don't pay for streams. I don't pay for exposure. I don't pay for followers. I don't do anything but create the music. I don't pay for, I gotta share this. Respect everybody's craft, whatever anybody has a price on it. But God, he knows that what I come from, I didn't have a lot of money backed up. So people hit me up to shoot music videos for free. People have been hit me up to get in the studio for free. Photography, clothes. People just hit me up like, man, I love what you're doing. I love your heart pot. And God has been having people just bless me. I have a show in California, in Brian T, Bizzle, Miles Minnick, and a whole lot of Dayton. All of these people are the headliners, and I'm going to be opening up in the showcase at the Invasion Tour. Mm. And all of this is taking place while I just found out about Christian hip hop. And now not only did I get into it, I got into it and I got exposed to, like, man, it's so many Christian artists, mainstream and underground, and God, and I'm able to see, like, okay, Lord, I believe if God called you to do something, it's going to happen. You can be big as a Dayton. You can be big as a Bizzle. You can be, but you have to be ready for it. Mm-hmm. And I realized all the stuff that I went through in the way that I'm carrying myself and the things that he's put around me. And my purpose is to bridge the gap of the body, to break down the barriers of fame and influence. Because it's like a lot of Christian rappers, like, well, how can I make it, man? How do I blow up? It ain't about that. God said you already made it. You already have influence. The top is an illusion. Even if you're in your local community rapping in front of one person, you're spreading the gospel. It's done. You don't need to be in front of a stadium or an arena just because you see Trip Lee or somebody like that doing that. That's what God called him to do that day, because you wasn't there back when he was rapping in front of three people. It's gonna happen to you. It's gonna happen for you, but God is not gonna, he's not gonna bless you with that if you're gonna get to a place of getting back to the question you asked. Are you still gonna spend time with him? Because he doesn't want us rapping in front of a million people if now we're on a career and we're spreading ministry and we're like those people, like, God, I heal people in your name. I pray for people in your name. And he's like, but I never knew you because you cut me off. So yeah, that's my testimony. I was lost. I was broken. I was hurt. God did a 180 in my life. And I'm on Hot 97. Jesus. I'm on Hot 97 this Sunday for the second time. God is showing out in my life as far as music. It's a blessing to be on this podcast talking to you right now, because God did this. I didn't seek it. God said, I'm going to send people your way. And he sent you to me to just have this conversation. That's where I'm at in life. I'm just a man of God walking it out and being appreciative and humble that I even have around 3,000 listeners a month, not a million yet, but just the 3,000 a month is a blessing to me, because I last year I had zero. So,
amen. Yes, sir. And I appreciate you sharing that and your testimony. I always get the opportunity to talk to that one person out there feeling like it's impossible to win. If you could talk to that person right now that's on the fence of accepting Christ and God's will for their life, what advice would you give them?
Luke 1:37, for nothing shall be impossible with God. Nothing shall be impossible with God. And every there is no losses in the kingdom. It's only lessons. It's only ways to advance. It's only God taking you a different route, because what we see as pain and hurt and suffering, that's only stuff that God is putting in our tool shed to be able to give somebody. Remember that time you needed that hammer? Now you see somebody that needs it. Remember that time where you were crying and you needed that tissue? Now you see somebody you can recognize. Oh, I've been through that. Let me help you now. So to look at everything that you go through as, one, wow, God is going to be able to use this to help somebody one day. And two, Jesus said, it's better that I not be born at all if I'm not going to do the will of my Father. So it's an honor. It's an honor to do his will. It's an honor to do whatever it is, to suffer, because he died on the cross for our sins. When people reject us, or they're rejecting him, not us. And when we go through hard times, he's getting in that pit with you, just like lying like David in the lion's den, Daniel in the lion's den. He's gonna get in that situation with you.
Amen.